Stature of the cross, the Father of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own His cause obliged to speak His we shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, oh. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, oh, wear a crown, wear a crown, oh, wear a bright and shining crown, oh, and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. Jerusalem, oh, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of heaven, whilst others fall to true blood is in. Oh, when the battle's over, and when the battle's over, oh, we shall wear a crown.
Wear a crown, yes. Oh,
we shall wear a
crown.
Oh, we shall wear a crown. I wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Oh, wear a crown, wear a crown. Oh, wear a crown, wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Oh, are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? This vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God.
Oh, when it's over, my Lord, and when the battle's over,
oh, we shall wear a crown.
Wear a crown, yes.
Oh, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear it. Oh, when the battle's
over.
Oh, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Oh, wear a crown, wear a crown. Oh, wear a crown, wear a crown. Oh,
wear a bright
and shining crown.
When it's over, oh, when it's over.
shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem.
Let's bow heads. Father, we do thank you for the promises of your word. Father, we thank you even for the words of such a song. Father, we know, Lord, Father, the blessings stored up. Father, for them that would fear thy name, for them that would worship thee, for them that would walk with you. Father, the promises that you've given to each age and that promise that you've given unto us in this age. Father, that we shall sit with you in your throne, even as you overcame and are seated with your Father in his throne. Father, we thank you for the goodness of your word. And Father, let it just be real unto us, Lord, that Father, though, Lord, we go through days of affliction, though that we go through days of trial and testing, Lord, but Father, we thank you, Lord, that there's all a purpose. That Father, you're preparing us, Lord, that you're leading us, that you're guiding us, that you are the great refiner, that you are the great potter. Lord, that you're doing something of eternal value, something of eternal worth inside of us. And that's why we just want to submit ourselves to your word and say, Lord, let your will be done. Glorify your name. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you even for the chastisements of the Lord. We thank you for, Father, your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you that you deal with us as your sons and your daughters, Lord, not as the world. But Father, that you always come back to you and we say, Abba, Father, because you are our Father. And Lord, we so appreciate your goodness upon this night. May you bless your people that have gathered, Lord. Won't you be with us now? Thank you, Lord, for song worship. Thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to express ourselves in song. Now, Father, as we open up, Lord, the preciousness of your word, won't you be with us, Lord, and help us, Lord, and just minister an entrance to us upon this evening to a place that, Father, you may do something in our souls, that as we go from this place this evening, we'd say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord, and bless your people gathering to the north, south, east, and west, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, we do greet you this evening. Thank you very much, Brother Max, Brother George. Let's open our Bibles to Amos chapter 3, chapter 4, first of all. Brother Wilmore was just saying that he's going to have to leave a bit early to pick his father from the airport, so it's good. Brother Wilmore's dad will be with us again. May the Lord give him a wonderful time when he's here. Let's open Amos chapter 4. The book of Amos is a real powerful book. You know, we want to just look at the topic this evening of responding in the hour of judgment. You know, and Amos was speaking, you know, the prophet takes Amos in the message, he preaches it a couple of times, the way of a true prophet, and he takes Amos as the prophet to the last days of Israel, just before the Assyrians came and destroyed them. So there's so many parallels, and he said it's an exact parallel, but I like Amos 4, the Lord speaks to them about all the different things that he had done from verse 10. He says, I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. So there were the plagues that were striking at that time. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. And I've made the stink of war in your camps to come up into your nostrils. Yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. But you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now, it's amazing, the Lord, how he's so long-suffering. He so desires repentance, people to change, to turn. You know, and he does so many things, and he corrects, and he pours out his anger, and he does all the different things. But the whole purpose behind it all is he wants people to turn to him. He wants people to recognize and to realize. No, so there's really mercy in the time of judgment if you recognize God's mercy in the time of judgment. So how does the Lord prepare people? When he says, prepare to meet your God. Amos 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. You know, so right in the midst of those things, he doesn't want his children to be ignorant of what's going on. Verse 8, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? So right when judgment was coming, here came God's voice. God's voice through Amos, through the prophet, spoke right in the midst of that time of investigating judgment. When God came to investigate first the sins, and then he started to pour out his wrath upon the people, but God's voice was speaking to the people right in the midst of the judgment. Let's read also Isaiah 38, verse 1. This is the scripture, we know it well, the prophet uses it in. God doesn't call a man to judgment without first warning him. Isaiah 38 verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You may be seated. May the Lord bless his word. So we just want to have a look at this thought about responding in the hour of judgment. We know, as we said on Sunday, the prophet says the judgments of God are already in the earth. Now to a person who is a stranger to grace, is a stranger to, especially to the message of the hour, it would be a very strange thing for a person to be able to understand what that means. But to the sons and daughters of God, because of the prophetic channel that God has opened through the message of the hour, by sending an eagle and raising him up to that prophetic height that he can see things the way that God sees them. And then the prophet, the eagle, will come down once again and declare a message to the people. And that message ministers the sons and daughters of God down a certain prophetic channel. God opens a way, a prophetic channel. Eyeself comes through the message of the hour. So you can start to see things the way that they really are. Now, because if you were just born in this world and you just continued on living day by day, yeah, and you started to see different things taking place, you think, ah, it's okay. These are just normal events, and you know, after a while they'll take care of themselves and things will be back to normal again. Now, it's so easy if you've just been born into something and you've been accustomed to it, you know, and you get like conditioned into seeing things the way that the world sees things, you wouldn't maybe see something amiss. Although God has put a buzzer inside of the soul of every single person. You know, that people, like the prophet says, this generation's like the man whistling past the graveyard as if he wasn't scared. But the reason that he's whistling is trying to hide the fact that he's scared. He's trying to fool himself that he's not scared. And I really do believe that anybody who's generally sincere at this kind of a time, in these days that we're living, can sense inside of themselves that things have taken a turn. I was speaking to one guy at work about it yesterday, and he said the same thing. He said, but it's never been like this before. He says, things have never ever got to such a widespread falling apart. And the prophet preached the world is falling apart. That every 2,000 years, the systems of men have to fall apart. That happened 2,000 years ago with the Roman Empire. The religions were falling apart because God was going to step in on the scene. And the world at that kind of a junction is always looking for some man to step in with the answer. You know, instead of looking to the one who put us here to provide the answer, man is looking for a man. And Satan will always provide a man. And there's going to be a man coming on the scene very soon who's going to provide the answers to this age as well. And people are going to really think this is the right man to follow. And they're going to find out after a while he wasn't the right man to follow. And, but the way that God works in such simplicity is the very people, the very servants, the prophets that God sends, you find that people don't want to follow them. Their messages are not popular at all. Yet that was God's provided way of you walking with God, because God opens up a channel for you to walk in. But you got to take advantage. You got to respond in the hour of judgment. I think there's nothing as sad as people knowing the hour that they're living in, but not walking the way that they should walk in that hour. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing for people to know and to be able to recognize and put their fingers on Scripture and look at the modern events made clear by prophecy and be able to speak of all the things, but those things don't have a real effect in the life of that person to make them walk differently, to make them walk with God in their day, to make them walk in a way that God looks down and is pleased with the way that people are walking. I think that's the saddest thing when you find a people in that kind of a situation, that a people have a knowledge of the day that you're living in, but not walking with God. Friends, it's a sad thing. I really do believe God has no desire for that. That is not the heart's desire of God. God doesn't send you a message. God doesn't send the unveiling of His Word. God doesn't send grace to you, a prophetic utterance of His Word to you and to me, just so that we can just know the day that we're living in. No, there must be a supernatural something in that opens up a way that we can be delivered from the sins that God is judging, and that you can really walk with God. You know, and it's such a wonderful thing to walk with Christ because you love Him. You know, to keep the Word because you love the Word. You know, the saddest thing is keeping the Word because you're scared that God's going to judge you if you don't keep the Word. God doesn't want it to be like that. You know, God wants to do a thorough work. If he gives you the word and says, this is what I want you to live, surely God will give you the grace. God gives the grace to work inside of your heart, to make you desire those things that God desires. Because surely the sons and daughters of God, if we are born again, we'll desire the things that God desires. Now, if the word is all as a bondage unto us, we've like got caught right in the middle. You know, we've got brought out of Egypt, maybe. We've been warned. We've seen the plagues of Egypt. We've come into the wilderness, but we haven't yet gone into the promised land. Now, we haven't come to a place that we really enjoy walking with God. Friends, when I read the message, it's because I love to read the message. I'd rather read the message than read the newspaper. I'd rather put on a message than go onto Facebook. I'd rather, it's just inside of me. I sometimes go and look at the news to see what's taken place, but it's like the prodigal son eating those husks that you feed to the swine. There's no nourishment in those things. It's good just to know a few of those things, but now all of the social media and that, it has its purpose, but there's very little spiritual nourishment in those things. You know, and you find your soul becomes lean. And before, maybe you had some virtue in your life and you had some momentum and you had a purpose and a vision, but you feed yourself so much on all these other things and you find out that it puts a leanness inside of your soul. You find inside of your soul there's no more that quickening anymore. There's no more that something that you used to have, because God has put that quickening power upon his word. The Spirit always accompanies the word. In the temple, there was the tables of stone and there was the Shekinah overshadowing the mercy seat where the tables of stone were. Christ was the word and the Holy Ghost came down upon the word. So you can never ever find the genuine quickening without the word. So if you really want to get the quickening back inside of your soul, get the word back inside of your soul in a prayerful way. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. There's a life inside of the word. And I really do believe that is the key to it all, is if you love the word. Loving the word means you love God. Feeding on the word, feeding on the hidden manna, you're feeding on his body, you're drinking his blood. That's what it is. This is my body which is broken for you. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Friends, God has done a wonderful thing for us, but it's so wonderful to see people taking advantage of what God has done. Now, if God really takes the pains in an hour of judgment to come and minister everything that you need in the hour of judgment, now everything that you're going to need to be set free from Babylon, to be set free from the very things that God is starting to judge, now God gives a provision for that. God gives you an anointing. He says, come and buy of me, I self. Now that's available to us. Freely you have received, he said, without money, without price. Everything that you need, God has given it freely unto us if we'll just respond the right way in the hour of judgment. Because that's God's desire. Because it's the nature of God. God is not willing that any should perish. And that is why God sends a prophet, and then God sends signs, and God sends more signs, and then God sends judgment signs, and he does so many things like he did to Israel, trying to get people to stop and to think, to consider their ways. And to say, surely there's more to this life than just getting up in the morning and going to school. And coming back and doing my homework and going to sleep. And getting up in the morning and going to school. Or going to work and pleasing my boss and going home and playing with the children and going to sleep. You know, that's not all what it's about. And that's why God does the supernatural. And if people won't pay attention to the supernatural, God will even bring things in the natural now. To try to shake things in the natural before people so that people will stop and consider. God's trying to flash these red lights in front of the world to say you don't have to go to hell the way that you're going to go to hell. God is not willing for that to happen. That's why God, before he judges, his nature governs him to always send warnings. God will always warn before judgment. That's what the prophet says in this message. God doesn't call a man to judgment without warning him first. He speaks of Hezekiah and he says, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading. It's a very outstanding subject for a short message here. A very outstanding subject. I like it when the prophet says those kind of things. Because if there was a man who lived like the prophet, with most of his life lived under that anointing, be able to break through into an invisible realm, be able to see within the realm of the unseen, A man that was so in tune with God. If he comes and tells you, I'm going to speak an outstanding subject, I'd say we need to pay attention to him. Because that's going to be an outstanding subject. It might not be outstanding in the eloquence that it's going to be spoken in. It may not be outstanding in the way the book is printed. But if you can get in the spirit, you're going to find out that's an outstanding message. There's something spiritually outstanding there. He continues on to say, God warning a man before bringing him to his death. You're speaking of Hezekiah. That God sent the prophet to him. He says Hezekiah was maybe the greatest man in the kingdom outside of the prophet. Because Hezekiah could say to God, Lord, please, I've served you with a perfect heart. And God accepted that and extended the length of the man's days. So although this man was walking perfect, he was complete before the Lord. He was mature in his walk, in his calling, in his office as king. But God didn't come and speak directly to him. God spoke to the prophet. Because the word comes to the prophet. The word of warning always comes to the prophets. And then the prophet now comes and speaks now to Hezekiah lying in his sick bed. Because Hezekiah's been struck with something. He's got an affliction. He's got a boil. The prophet must have been a cancer on him. You know, and the Lord now sends Isaiah to explain to him what this means. Because there's always a voice behind whatever takes place, like we said on Sunday. There's a voice behind the judgment. There was a voice behind this affliction that Hezekiah had. And God came with Isaiah, sent Isaiah, said, go and tell the man the voice behind this affliction. That this voice of this affliction is to tell him, set your house in order. You're going to die and you're not going to live. You know, that's the grace of God. Now, when God will come and reveal to you the voice behind something, the voice behind the judgment sign, the voice behind what you're going through, that's how you can overcome. That's how you can respond, because God has revealed to you the purpose of something. And that's what you need the prophets for. The prophet says, now, everyone has this, that God will warn a person before bringing him to death. Everyone has this. He says, God never brings any man to his death without first warning him about it, telling him. It's something, a preparation. So part of the preparation process before God calls a person to judgment, because the Bible says it's given unto a man once to die and then the judgment. That's the natural man. So part of the process of bringing a person to judgment is God first gives them a warning. That's part of the process. God will never bring a person to judgment without first warning them, without giving them a spiritual warning, without sending a warning their way, without coming and explaining what he's got in his mind. God always does that, like he did to Hezekiah. The prophet says it's something, a preparation. God is sovereign, and he knocks at the heart of every man, giving him the opportunity to come. So if God sees someone is not prepared, if God sees someone walking in a contrary way to the way that they're supposed to walk, and God sees, I'm going to have to bring judgment. The hour of judgment is soon at hand. God, by his grace and his mercy, is going to send a voice. He's going to send the voice of warning first. He's going to send the voice, and the purpose of that voice, the voice of God coming to you, is God wants you to make preparation. God wants you to prepare. That's what we read, Amos 4 verse 12. Prepare to meet your God. And that's what the grace of God does. And all the judgment signs that we see in the earth today, what is God trying to say to them that have ears to hear? Prepare to meet your God. Because judgment is at hand. And God doesn't want to just pour judgment upon an unsuspecting people. It's not the nature of God to do that. It's not the nature of us just to take your child and give your child a hiding without the child knowing the reason that it's getting a hiding. You're going to give them a warning first, and you're going to give them maybe a more severe warning, and then judgment's going to come. But you're going to make sure they understand why they're being judged. And you're going to give them an opportunity to prepare themselves, to turn away from such, to consider their ways, to return unto the ways of the Lord. That's why the prophet says, God never even brings judgment upon the earth without first giving the people a warning. And friends, we see that. And God is so gracious that God gives so many warnings. If he sends a prophet 50 years ago, yeah? And people, they don't recognize the voice of the prophet. The bride will recognize the voice of God in their day. And that will prepare. But for the rest of the people, even for the foolish virgin, God is merciful. He'll continue to do things even for them, warn them in natural signs and judgment signs and nation against nation and earthquakes in diverse places and all the afflictions and the things that we see. You know, it's God trying to get the attention of everybody. Because the prophet says that's the nature of God. That's the very nature of God. It says God does nothing without declaring at first what he's going to do. My. But you've got to have ears to hear. You've got to be willing to say, but Lord, I want to hear, because God speaks with a supernatural voice. You know, God hides himself in simplicity and reveals himself the same. And if this world is so attractive to you and everything else is so attractive to you, you're not going to hear the voice of God. The prophet says there's many other voices in this age. There's the voice of the enemy. There's the voice of Hollywood. There's the voice of entertainment. There's the voice of pleasure. There's so many other voices that can crowd out that voice of God. But once you start feeling it inside of your soul to say, I need to be careful in this juncture here. Because things are taking a turn. This is the hour of judgment. I think at the hour of judgment, we need to be a little bit careful how we walk. And we need to be a little bit careful to get ourselves in tune so we can hear maybe what God is trying to say. Because that's the process, part of the process of the preparation that God has prepared for his people before he brings a judgment. He says, and he gives the people a choice. So God's going to show you, choose life. Why choose death? Choose life and live. I set before you two doors, but he's going to make it clear that if you continue on that path, judgment's coming. And he'll warn you and warn you, but he leaves you to make the choice. You have to make the choice. You have to make the choice if you desire to change or not. You have to make the choice if you're willing to bear the reproach of the word and walk with God in your age. Because you're never going to be popular in the world walking with God. You're never going to be understood by the people at work when you walk with God. Never going to be understood by the people at school when you walk with God. But that's part of the preparation. You've got to make your choice. Which way are you going to turn? Who are you going to walk with? Because the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Now you can't walk with God unless you agree with him. And you've got to lay aside those things that God disagrees with. And then you agree with God and you walk with him. If you agree with the world and the things of the world, you'll end up walking with the world. The prophet says, now we find out that his nature, God's nature, here was always to warn a man before judgment. It's the very nature of God. Friends, God is gracious. God is kind. When you speak of those things like on the weekend, when you see these judgment signs in the economies of the world, when you see judgment signs, when you see the Twin Towers and you see all these things, and you see America losing all of its wars that it's fighting, and we see the rise of ISIS, and we see the rise of these things, and America and the nations getting entangled in something else once again. What is it? It's a warning. It's the nature of God. He'll allow temporal judgment, the prophet says. Temporal things, temporary things to take place in the natural, to try to shake people before he brings a final judgment where there's no remedy. Before he pours out his wrath without mercy, which is what's going to happen at Armageddon, the burning of Sodom. There's coming a day when the world crosses that line, every single one of the Gentiles, and God will say, no more. My spirit will not always strive with man. God will only strive up to a certain point. In the days of Noah, he strove for 120 years. He strove with man. His spirit strove with man. Though the people mocked him, the people scoffed. But there was Noah, a preacher of righteousness. And before Noah, there was Enoch who walked with God. And those are judgment signs in their day. And God cried out to that generation. And the ark was a judgment sign. What is the attraction on the mountain? God was doing something on the mountain. And to anybody that had a tender heart, a sensitive conscience at that time, hadn't been seared in their conscience, They would have felt something inside of them whenever Noah preached. Something inside of them would have told them, listen to what this man's saying. Don't listen to what the world's saying about this man. This is my prophet. Listen to what this man's saying. Because there was the ring of truth. Your soul can recognize the ring of truth because God has ordained your soul to recognize truth. You may reject it, you may not like it, but God has put it inside of us, a conscience inside of us that we recognize truth, that you know that's the truth. And people will be feeling inside of themselves, I want to walk like it, I know that's right, but there's a price that I've got to pay. You see, and that's where the choice comes in now. But the conscience, the souls of people, anybody who's savable, the prophet says, God will speak to them. And that voice will echo inside of themselves. And when you go from that place, maybe the people, they would see Noah preaching up there on the mount. And they would leave there. And maybe the other people were laughing and making fun. But the genuine people, when they'd go, there was the voice beyond the voice. And when they'd go home, there'd be something that would be echoing inside of their souls. There'd be something, and that was God's warning before judgment. Consider your ways. Change your ways. Come unto me. Prepare to meet your God. Because the judgments of God were starting to pour forth into the earth in that age. So the prophet says it's the nature of God to always warn a man before judgment. To warn a nation before judgment. It's the nature of God. He's always going to do it. Now, if you have a look inside of your life at every disaster, disastrous decision, disastrous act that you've made, things that spoiled your life or spoiled your testimony or spoiled relationships, if you really think back to before that, God warned you. Especially if you're a son and daughter of God. There was always a warning. But you overrode the warning. You see, you reasoned it, or you quietened that voice. And you went headlong right into the midst of whatever it was that God was warning you not to get yourself involved with. So the prophet says it's a reminder to us of a responsibility. So before God judges people, he comes to remind them of their responsibility. And the prophet says it's like if you're working in a factory or a company, you don't just go there and work, then go and sit down and do whatever you want. At some stage, you've got to go to the owner of the company or the person who's employed you to say, why did you employ me? What is my purpose here? And the prophet says, that's what God wants every age to do. When it's coming towards judgment or you're coming towards personal judgment, God is going to warn you of your responsibility. The prophet says that you weren't put here on earth just to please ourselves. We weren't put here on earth just to eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. We are put here for a divine purpose. And we need to go back to him that put us here and ask him, why did you put me here? What do you expect of me? That's what it is to consider your ways. That's what it is to prepare to meet your God. Is to go and say, Lord, what am I here for? What are your thoughts towards me? Because friends, only if you fulfill your purpose in this life do you inherit eternal life. Anything that fulfills its purpose here, you'll find it in the world to come. But you've got to fulfill your purpose. But this world is, like the song we are singing there, this world is no friend to grace, to help us on to God. No, I must fight if I must reign. You're going to have to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what you're going to have to fight against. Against peer pressure, your friends, your old colleagues, old relationships that you had inside of your life. There's going to be some struggle in it, because without struggle there's no life. But God will minister the resources that you need if you have the right attitude. And if you respond in the hour of judgment, there's nothing to fear in the hour of judgment. There's nothing to fear because God has a provided way of escape. In any situation, God has a provided way. And if we'll just humble ourselves and yield ourselves and follow his leadership and hear his voice, there's nothing to fear because it's the nature of God. He desires to save. He doesn't desire to judge. He desires to save. So the prophet gets on to Hezekiah. He says, Hezekiah was told to make ready, to get ready because he had to meet his maker. And we forget that at every single one of us has to stand before our maker. Every single one of us will have to stand before Christ, the Logos himself, The incarnate Word, whose eyes will be like flames of fire.
Yes.
We must stand before Him now and be judged. Because this is the white throne. The books were opened at the white throne. And judgment must begin in the house of God. So if we allow ourselves to be judged now, the Bible says, there's nothing for us to be judged for there. We'll stand with Christ in judgment. But we need to come face to face with our Maker at some stage. And if we reject it now, we try to hide ourselves like Adam and Eve in the garden and try to make our own fig leaf religion and make our own way of covering our nakedness. It doesn't last. Because when that voice of God came saying, Adam, where art thou? They realized that none of their works, that none of their acts could cover them in the anointed presence of God. That if there was going to be some way they could stand in the hour of judgment, God was going to have to clothe them. God was going to have to provide something for them to be able to withstand that judgment. And God took the judgment and put it upon the innocent sacrifice, clothed them in skins, and then they could stand and speak once again to God. You've got to really face up to it. You've got to prepare yourself to meet your Maker. I'd rather meet Him now. I'd rather plead guilty now. I'd rather have His eyes search my soul now, search my heart now. I'd rather have the Word come and discern my intents and my thoughts and my purposes now. And though it's uncomfortable many a time, friends, to the flesh or to the pride and arrogancy of man, but I'd rather that His anointed Word come and do a thorough job with me now. That I don't get up and bolt and go and try to find some other way. But that I submit myself unto the Father of spirits and live. And let Him do His work now and wash me in the blood and wash away my guilt and my iniquity. And do His work. Then there's nothing to fear in the hour of judgment. Because God has ministered you into the secret place of the Most High. There's a refuge in the time of storm. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. And the righteous run there and are safe. But God will minister you into that place if you will respond in the hour of judgment. He'll minister you right into the place of safety, right in the midst of storm. The prophet preaches a message, the oncoming storm, and says, before you go to bed tonight, go and read Revelation chapter 8 and see the oncoming storm, which was the trumpets and so forth, the plagues coming under the trumpets. And the prophet says, you will see what's coming upon this earth. This oncoming storm of God's wrath and anger. But before it comes, mercy is going to come to shepherd His people into safety, to bring His flock into the fold. The prophet says the world today is just like Hezekiah was then. It's been warned. The world has been warned, friends. Because if you see the judgments of God in the earth, God doesn't judge without warning first. God wouldn't be judging if He hadn't warned. But when you see the economy is about to take their final slide, who knows when? But the signs point to not too far in the distant future. When you see the nations, when you see the morals, when you see the diseases, the plagues amongst the people. Friends, the judgments of God are in the earth. That means the earth hasn't heard His warning. So God now, the prophet says, America's finished. He says, world, you're finished. God's finished with nations. God's finished with offering grace to the world. He says, the prophet says, it'll never, 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 never turn around. But God is still dealing with the individual. That's the grace of God. God is still reaching out to the soul of the individual. The nations have crossed the line, and look at their policies, look at their laws they pass. Look at the way the nations are coming together to fight against the Most High. We can see it like the Bible says. But God is now dealing with the individual. And that's His grace. The prophet says it's constantly being warned. Being warned. The church is being warned. And now these things just don't happen by chance. So when we see these things happening, like we're saying on the weekend, when you find God putting judgment signs, those things don't just happen by chance. The devil will try to come and tell you that just happened by chance. But once you get yourself quiet before God, and you consider the voice behind these judgment signs, you'll see this isn't chance. There is a sovereign God who rules over the affairs of men. And God is now starting to deal down the line of judgment. So the prophet says, and now these things don't happen by chance. They've all got something behind them. And that's why if you're walking with God, you will start to see the things behind them. When you see, the Assyrians there, you see these ISIS people now. America now is bombing in Syria and there, and been bombing in northern Iraq. What is the capital in Iraq of ISIS? Is Mosul. What was Mosul's name? It was Nineveh. That's the very place Jonah was sent to because the Assyrians' capital was in Nineveh. And it was the Assyrians that destroyed America, that fought with America in their, with Israel in their last days. And we see now America fighting with the same enemy that Israel fought in its last days. And those Assyrians, if you go and read, who were from Nineveh, were the cruelest of all the nations. They would go and surround cities and give the city a chance to surrender. If the people wouldn't surrender, they'd besiege the city. And when they took the city, they would slay everyone and take their heads, behead the people, stick their heads on poles around the city as a warning to others. That's exactly the spirit of ISIS. Go and see it. That's exactly what they're doing. They go and tell a town, convert to Islam or you die. And if the people just resist, they slaughter them. They behead and they stick the heads of the men on poles in the city to show people. As though it's exactly the same spirit. The prophet says, the nations are in the spirit of the last days. Yes. We can see it. Yes. It's the spirit of destruction leading them down to Armageddon. He says, but the church isn't yet in the spirit of the last days. And that's why God had to send a prophet to open that prophetic channel, to minister an entrance to us so that we can be in the right spiritual condition as we enter the last days. Because God doesn't want to judge without a warning. Now, he says, now God giving a warning. Prepare for a judgment. The atomic bombs are in the hangars. Everything's sitting ready. But God, before he can let these things happen, he makes a call down through, like he did to Sodom. So the prophet takes it back to our parallel again. Let's read a few verses from Genesis 18, just to remind ourselves what it was like. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is revealed. So we know Genesis 18 is a perfect parallel to our day. What God does to Abraham, he'll do the same to the seed of Abraham. Now, this is the way God desires for us to respond in the hour of judgment. Because Abraham was living in the hour of judgment. It was a time of investigating judgment. God had come down himself. God came down to investigate. I have heard the cry of Sodom. And I've come down to see. That's what the cloud is. The cloud is the sign of the investigating judgment. The judge of all the earth. But he's saying first shalom to his bride. So he first is going to come and say shalom to Abraham. And then he's going to pour forth his wrath upon Sodom. But there's going to be a gap in the middle there. And that's the day we're living in. We're living in the days of investigating judgment. That's what the prophet says. So Genesis 18. Let's just look at a few verses here to see how should we respond in the hour of judgment. Verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So who was this? This was the Lord. This was God himself. The Word himself coming down. My. A visitation to Abraham of the Logos. But the Logos now put on flesh to reveal himself to Abraham. My. That's a parallel to our day, friends. Because the pillar of fire himself, the Logos, has come down and revealed himself through a body of flesh, a prophet, in our age. Yes. So it's exactly the same thing, the same the word coming to Abraham. In our age, it's the word coming to the royal seed of Abraham. Because it's always what God does to Abraham, he does to his seed. Now, one thing you'll see straight away, how welcome Abraham makes the word feel. Can you see how we should respond in the hour of judgment? The word's going to come our way, but how are we going to treat the word when he comes? Look what Abraham says, verse 2. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and will comfort your hearts. Friends, if we could receive the word like that, that whenever you find the Lord's drawing near, something comes and is speaking to your soul. You get yourself in the scripture, and you find there's some life. You get yourself in the message, and you find God starts speaking to you. If you could just welcome him, get on your knees and welcome and say, Lord, thank you that you're speaking to me, Lord. Thank you that you're visiting me, Lord. Please, Lord, I want to spend time with you. Lord, come and speak to your servant. And like it says, Abraham says, that I may comfort your heart. Ah, friends, you've got a real born-again soul when the word comes your way and you welcome the word. You know, I think the saddest thing, like I said in the beginning, Christianity, where the word is always a word of judgment. Yeah, because the same message is mercy to one and judgment to another. Yes. Now, if you come and you preach about so many things, there'll be certain people just sitting there all the time and they'll be trying to dodge and say, oh, that was for me, that was for me. Because they're involved in so many things contrary to the word. But if you come to church and you're not living contrary to the word, there's not going to be much of that word that's going to strike against you. Instead of being a word of judgment, God in his mercy trying to judge you, to separate you from that which is wrong, you're going to find it's a message of grace. It just depends on how you're living. Just depends on the condition of your soul. That's where the same message can be preached. And to one it's judgment, to one it's mercy. To one you're being told you're a son of God, to one you're being told you're a son of Belial. It just depends on how you're living at that time. But Abraham, he was in harmony with God. He was living. The prophet says that day he went out, he took his stool and he sat in the tent door because Sarah was fussing about things and he didn't want to get himself involved in that atmosphere. And the prophet says maybe he went to sit in the tent door to meditate upon the goodness of God. And while he was thinking about the Lord, three appeared to him and one of them was the Lord. And he made him feel so welcome. Ah, friends, that's a key. To respond in the hour of judgment. Let's always make him feel welcome in the hour of judgment. And now he was coming as the judge of all the earth. But there were still the attributes of mercy available to Abraham. And Abraham, he knew that. He knew he was a friend of God. Now look how he responds. Verse 2, it says, he lifted up his head and he bowed himself towards the ground. That's reverence and humility. That's bowing yourself in the presence of the anointed word. That's not standing brazen-faced and right in the face of the word when it comes your way. But when the word is coming, you're bowing yourself down. And that's why song worship is so important, to put your soul into that kind of a condition where you're soft before the Lord, where you become tender in your soul, so that when the word comes, it's prepared ground. You can bow yourself down, submit yourself in the presence of the word. And what does he say to the Lord? I think it's in verse 3. He says at the end, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. You know, he realized this is humility, friend, saying, Lord, I'm your servant. You are the master. You are the potter. I am but the clay. That's how he receives this visitation. So he says it, and now he runs to his herd and so forth. Tells Sarah, quickly make some food, gets the best of his flock, gets the best that he has to give it to the Lord. Verse 9. Things move into a different realm. He's received the word. He's now sitting and he's fellowshipping with the word. The word now is going to open up another channel. It's going to open the channel of the prophetic word. There's going to be an unveiling now of what God is about to do. Verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. He starts revealing to him not Sarai, Sarah. Abraham, not Abram from the previous chapter. Starts revealing the secrets of the heart. And then we know that verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of surety bear a child? My. So this ministration's moved further. It's not just God, the Logos, coming down to his people. He's starting now to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's exactly how the prophet's ministry unfolded itself, to the discernment. It unfolded itself further down in the hour of judgment. And at this time, Sarah wasn't ready for this visitation. But Abraham was. Abraham received the visitation, but Sarah, she hadn't yet been ministered into the channel that she needed to be, because she couldn't accept the word. She laughed at it. When the word came and told what would happen to her, she said, how can this be? She couldn't accept the word. But God is gracious. This visitation was going to minister into a place that that word would become real to her. That in the time of life, she would bring forth that which was spoken of her as well. So it was really the grace of God to her as well. That's why Sarah laughed and so forth. And then she denied. Verse 15, verse 16. It moves into the next realm. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abram went with them to bring them on the way. What's Abram doing? He's walking step by step with the word. The word's now going from being grace, shalom to Abram and Sarah. It's now going to become judgment to Sodom. And as the word's progressing, Abraham's walking step by step with the word. He walks with the word to take him on his way. It's like the prophet when he saw the vision of the bride. She was marching step by step with the word. She was marching in time to the word, the prophet said. When she started getting out of line, stay in line. And Abraham was walking in line. Don't you want it to be like that? Don't you want to walk with him? Walking in tune with Elohim himself, that is anointed for judgment, but is anointed with mercy. And as he walks towards Sodom, Abraham's accompanying him on the way. They're walking together. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? But he's walking together with God, right in the hour of judgment. Verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Now there's going to come the revelation of judgment. There's going to come the revelation of the mystery of the age that he's living in. This is going to be the sixth seal now. The judgment seal is going to be revealed to Abraham. Abraham, I'm going down to destroy. I'm going down to burn those Sodomites. I'm going down. There's going to be the burning of Sodom. And he says in verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. Huh? Now, what I love about Abraham, this unveiling of the word, it starts to affect him right inside of his soul. It starts to minister Abraham into a certain spiritual condition. That he starts now to think about his nephew Lot. He starts to think about Mrs. Lot. He starts to think about his relatives down there in Sodom. Can you see the word when it visited Abraham? It had enough of an effect to achieve the desired result that Jehovah desired. It had something that Abraham didn't just sit down, hear what Elohim had to say, and let Elohim go his way. And a few minutes later, Abraham is back there, back in the worldly spirit once again. That would be a total waste of a visitation in the hour of judgment. But Abraham made him so welcome and stayed with him and washed his feet that the word unfolded itself further, discerned the thoughts and intents of the heart, ministered to Sarah. Abraham continued to minister to the word. The word broke into the next realm, sort of to say, shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm about to do? Starts to reveal what God is about to do. And in that revelation, there's an unction, there's an anointing that comes with it. You can't be in the presence of God and he's revealing things to you and you stay the same. You're never going to stay the same. Revelation is a supernatural act. It's God speaking to the soul of somebody. Revelation has an impact. The prophet says there's the stimulation of revelation. But this wasn't a revelation that made Abraham rejoice. This was a revelation that put him in the spirit of intercession now. Because friends, before we become concerned, we've got to be convinced, the prophet says. Convinced, then concerned. Then the prophet says the great reason we're not concerned is we haven't been convinced enough. And when we haven't been convinced enough, we're not yet responding the way we should in the hour of judgment. If we're not convinced that this world is falling apart, if we're not yet convinced that the economies are going to collapse the way the prophet and the Bible said, if you're not yet convinced that the last days are upon the earth, the problem is we haven't allowed ourselves to be convinced. Because Jehovah's done everything he can, because his nature is he'll never judge without warning. He'll open a way. He'll open a provided way to them that'll respond in the hour of judgment. That'll receive the word and make the word feel at home in your home. And wash his feet and humble yourself and bow down before the word. And let the word continue to unfold itself. And then walk step by step with the word as he's unfolding judgment and speaking about Sodom and Gomorrah and so forth. You staying in the presence of the word as it's unfolding itself. You can't be the same after that. You're going to be concerned because you've been convinced now. You've been convinced by God himself. Because if a person convinces you, another person can convince your opposite. We see that in the message in America, with the great falling away of people. That men convince them and other people are convincing them it's not the truth. But you can never be convinced away from a revelation. When God has convinced you of something, revealed something to you, heaven and earth will pass away. That'll never be taken from you. The gates of hell shall never prevail, Jesus said. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't convince you of this, didn't reveal this. It's my Father who's revealed this to you, has convinced you. And it doesn't matter what Peter went through after that with all his mistakes. He never lost faith. This was the Christ. He never could lose that faith. Because the gates of hell could not get onto those sacred sands that God had established in the experience of that man. And that's what we need, friends, in this late hour. We need God to convince us. But you're going to have to spend enough time with him. And that's what I said at last Sunday. It is so easy to go the whole week for people, a lot of people, without even opening the Bible. Without getting one message and getting in the message and shutting the world out for a season and allowing Elohim to convince you. Bowing yourself down and making the word feel at home and inviting him to come and eat with you, to come and dine, the master said, come and dine. We've got to respond in the hour of judgment because God's going to do something for you. That visitation is for a purpose. The prophet says nothing happens by chance. This visitation was for a purpose. God came to him for a purpose. God wanted him to be ministered to a certain place so that he'd react and behave in a certain way. So that God could fulfill the desire that he has to bring mercy to people in Sodom before judgment strikes them. And that's what this visitation, God was unfolding it to him for right in the end. Verse 22, and it says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. He had perseverance, friends. There was something troubling him in his soul now. Because the word has revealed, there's not much time left. The word has revealed personally to him, Sodom's going to burn. The judgments of God in earth, the judge is on the scene. It was revealed to him. So there was a concern now. Now he didn't want to let this visitation pass away without taking full advantage of this visitation. So while Sarah is doing whatever she's doing, I don't know where she is now, but Abraham stands before the Lord. He's trying to say, Lord, are you going to open something further? Lord, are you going to open that channel that I might call upon thy name in a specific manner in this late hour? And that was the desire of God. So he stood yet before the Lord. Now watch how it unfolds even further. Verse 23. And Abraham drew near. Abraham drew near. He said, remember the prophet that time when he saw Jesus in the field? And Jesus was standing in the air. And the prophet came and he pricked himself, remember, and he says, am I dreaming? He was praying for his father, remember? And then he says, I said, and he says, and nothing happened. And then I said, Jesus? And he turned around and he held out his arms to me. The prophet drew near. He called him by name. And Jesus responded. And Abraham now, he senses in himself, I need to draw nearer. I don't yet have the liberty. I don't yet have the access. I don't currently speak to him yet about these important things. I need to draw nearer to him. And the Bible says, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. That's the promise, friends. That's responding in the hour of judgment. This is what Abraham did in the hour of judgment. He drew near. And now he starts to speak to God. He's never spoken in this way before. He's never felt a liberty to speak like this before. But he says, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Then he starts speaking, if it's 50, Lord, surely you won't destroy. Look at verse 25. That be far from you to do after this manner. He knows the nature of God. To slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Friends, this was the judge. And he's speaking to the judge. But he's got mercy. My, that's the day we're living in. Like they sing the third Exodus. We're living in the time of mercy and judgment. But we have access, friends. He's ministered an entrance to us. He's opened a way right in the hour of judgment that we can speak unto him. He'll open the way if we just draw near, if we respond and make him feel welcome. And then he intercedes and he brings it right down to 10. Verse 32, how he says it to him. Verse 33, and the Lord went his way as soon as he left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. The judgment had achieved its purpose because we know it well. In the next chapter, what happens? It's just the foolish virgin, friends. Lot wasn't the elect. Lot was the foolish, for the prophet says, the denominational kind of a believer. But God still had mercy on him in the hour of judgment. Can you see the nature of God? God sent two angels down. And it says, and the Lord delivered, the Lord, when God rained fire upon Sodom, God remembered Abraham. And he delivered Lot. It achieved the purpose. Because God is not willing to judge the righteous with the wicked. Some will have to escape by fire. Some will have to go through the tribulation period. Some will have to pay with their lives, whatever it is. But if there's any righteous souls, like the prophet says in the seal, sincere hearts, maybe they've been blinded from the message of the hour by their leaders and so forth. He says they'll be purged in the tribulation period. They'll come through as by fire. And they'll come up at the white throne judgment and receive eternal life. My, God is righteous, friends. God doesn't want people to perish. But imagine the grace that he had to Abraham. Imagine the grace that he has to us. What a personal visitation he's made to us right in the hour of judgment. But friends, what shall we do with this Jesus called Christ? Because we've got Jesus on our hands. How are we going to receive this visitation? Let's be like our father Abraham, friends. Let's make him feel welcome. Let's make him feel at home. Let's minister to him so that in turn he'll unveil more to us. Let's say, Lord, come past, Lord, and comfort your heart for a season. Let's humble ourselves. Let's call him Lord and let's call ourselves his servants. Let's be humble and bow ourselves down when the word is visiting us. And let it continue to unfold itself. And then let's walk step by step with him as the word unfolds. And then let's stand before him. And when we need to, let's draw near to him. And when we found we've got his ear, let's make intercession the way that Abraham made intercession. Friends, that's grace right in the hour of judgment. And that's the very position that you and I are in this evening. The very position. The very position. Amen. To the world, they may look at you and I like strange people. And we are strange. We are peculiar people. Yes. But to the Most High, friends, he's granted us a lot of grace. And inside of your soul, you can feel that there's a liberty and there's an access that we can intercede on his behalf. And let's not remember our nephews, Lot, and our mothers and our fathers and our brothers and our sisters and the people that are down there caught up in these things, friends. Let's not remember them as the hour of judgment comes in. And that was the final unfolding of that visitation, that God brought deliverance down there in Sodom. God saved all that could be saved. Those angels said, hasten thither and come quickly, because we can do nothing until you've escaped from the city. You've got to come out first, because God cannot pour judgment out upon the righteous. And Abraham knew that inside of his soul. And I would say it, friends, we just wanted to say on Friday, we wanted to have one more outreach. We had spoken to the saints about it this Friday. Let's be in the spirit of intercession. Let's draw near to the Lord so we can really be convinced and be concerned. Because you can never really help someone unless you're concerned. And let's be in prayer, friends. Let's really make him feel at home. When the song leader gets up and the music starts going forth, let's minister unto the Lord. Let's make him feel welcome so that he'll unfold more of these secrets that are inside of his heart. That he'll open up a greater access to these great attributes of his mercy and of his grace and of deliverance right in the midst of these days that we're living in. Friends, let's make him feel at home. Let's stand. Let's have one song if the brothers don't mind. And let's come to a time of prayer, friends. Just really would like to ask if you'll pray for Friday. We'd like to, like I said, get out for one more outreach. We'd spoken to the saints about it. I know sisters and that will be pretty busy on Friday, so we thought we'd do an outreach. And let's go one more time and say, Lord, make me an instrument, a vessel of honor, right in the midst of these days of dishonor. Use me, Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, use me for your glory. Let's sing one song, friends, a couple of songs, and we come to a time of prayer.
Higher ground.
Higher ground.
No, the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying, I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table. Plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fear dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table, a higher place than I ever found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a glimpse of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table, a higher place than I ever found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table.
to sing that song. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come with power this very hour. Holy Ghost, we welcome you. Now let's come to time of prayer. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, let's put it before the Lord this evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Choose another one, brother. Let's sing that song then. Just the chorus. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow?
When the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, clear for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, there for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, there for me.
Let's all call upon his name. Let's make him feel welcome. Let's draw near to him. He said he'll draw near to us. Let's pour before his throne whatsoever the Lord lays upon our hearts this evening. Father, we bring ourselves before thee, Lord. Father, we come at your invitation. We come at your bidding. Not, Father, because of any righteousness, any goodness, Lord, that we would, Father, endeavor to bring you before thee, but we come unto thee in time of grace to thank you,
Father. Lord, is more than Lord Savior that man would ever desire. As we desire, Lord, you draw nigher upon us, Lord, and hear us upon, Lord, and pray to you, Lord, for you bless us, Lord, to direct us now, hear us now, to guide us now, Father, we pray. We pray for Father, for your grace, for us to trust us today. You grant us that tomorrow, Lord, Father, we Lord, Savior, relief.
Father, we do bring ourselves before thee, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're good. We thank you that you're mindful of us, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that you love fellowship, Lord. And Father, we just love to fellowship with you. We thank you, Lord, that you see the desires of our soul. Father, we just want to draw nigh unto thee upon this evening, Lord. We just want to worship thee, to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace that you bestowed upon us, Lord. As we see the hour of judgment, Lord, as we see your judgments in the earth, as we see the world falling apart. Father, how glad that we are that we know you, Lord. And Father, we just want to hide ourselves, even as you've been singing, Lord, in the cleft of the rock, Father, Lord, in the rock that has been cleft for us, Lord. We just want to hide ourselves in the name of the Lord. Father, the mighty tower. Father, continue, Lord, to minister unto us. Continue to minister the entrance to us, Lord, we pray. Continue, Lord, even as, Father, that song that says, Lord, we welcome you. Come with power this very hour, Lord. Father, I pray for them, for each and every one of us upon this night, Lord. But especially for them, Lord, that don't have the power, Father, to live, Lord, what they believe. I just pray and ask, Lord, that, Father, you would come with power this very hour. That even as your word would go forth, Lord, let your unction speak and minister grace to every soul, I'd ask and I'd pray. Father, may you minister deliverance to the captives, Lord. May you minister the opening of the eyes of the blind, we'd ask and I'd pray. Father, we just minister each and every one of us unto that secret place of the Most High. That, Father, the veil may drop behind us, Lord. That, Father, we may come under the wings of the cherubim, even upon this evening, Lord. That, Father, we may just sit in the presence of the Shekinah, Lord. That you may eat of the hidden manna, Lord, is our desire, Lord. Father, that which you've reserved for your priesthood in every age. Father, how we just want to thank you for grace, to thank you for mercy, Lord, to come by the way of the blood, Father, to confess every sin and every trespass, Lord, to ask of thee, Lord, for your forgiveness for every fault and failing, Lord, even as Daniel prayed and said, I and my father's house have sinned. May you kindly forgive us, Lord, and just minister us to the place that you'd have us to be. Praying for each brother, each sister that's here, Lord. Father, praying for each home, Father, that's represented. Praying for the children that are at home, Lord. Father, we do claim them under the token, Lord. We claim them under the token of the blood. Father, from this evil and this adulterous generation, Lord. Father, we just want to apply the blood in Goshen, Lord, even upon this evening, Lord. And just pray, Lord, for husbands, for wives, for brothers, for sisters, Lord. Father, for them that haven't managed to make it upon this evening, Lord. We pray your grace upon each soul. We just pray that you'd be, Father, with each and every one, Lord. And Father, as we look towards this, Lord, going out, outreach on Friday, Lord, help us once again. Grant us a one more time, Lord. Guide our footsteps, Lord, we'd ask and pray. Grant us a good success, Lord. Let it be as Eliezer. Father, let the angel go before we ask and pray. May you stir up the hearts of them, Father, that, Lord, ordained unto life. Bring them to the well at evening time, we'd ask and pray. And guide our footsteps, Lord, Father, to meet up with their footsteps, Lord, that we being in the way, the Lord may guide us is our desire. May you bless our feeble efforts, may it be for your glory, Lord, and in all the preparations for the weekend, we do pray your blessing upon everything that should be done, everything that should be said. We pray for Brother Will, for his father, when he had come, Lord, may you have mercy upon him. Lord, may you speak to him and visit him as well, and grant him, Lord, grace, even when he'd be amidst us, we'd ask and pray. May you give us wisdom, may you give us mercy, Lord. May we depart now from this place with your peace as our desire. Give us traveling mercies as we travel. Bless us as we rest upon this night. Be with us and prosper us in our ways, Lord, and Father, our business and our affairs, that in the day that would lay before. But Father, we just want to ask this one thing of thee, Lord. Continue to visit us, Lord, and grant us that grace that you may make you welcome, Lord, that you may minister to you, that you may comfort your heart in this age, Lord, by coming down and dwelling in the midst of your people, that you may be glorified. Bless your people. Bless Brother Tom and the saints, Brother Christian and the saints, Brother George Quinn and the saints, Brother Billy and the saints. We pray for your people, north, south, east, and west, Lord. Bless your people. Touch your people and be with us as we would dismiss. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing one more as we dismiss, saints. If you have one for us, bro.
This is the air bridge.
Amen.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence is the air I breathe.
This is the air.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. And I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you.
I'm lost without you, Lord,
and I'm desperate for you. And I without you.
This is my daily bread.
Your spoken word reveals to me.
Oh, now
I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you.
I'm lost without you, my Lord.
And
I'm desperate for you.
I'm desperate for you, Lord.
And
I'm lost without you,
my Lord.
And
I'm lost without you.